Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Thanks so much for being with us, as always. As you're listening, you can keep emailing questions for Mayor Dennis to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. Mayor, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
It's going all right. And how are you?
Pretty good.
Okay. So we're going to start off with one big question. How is West Lafayette's mask mandate going?
Well, pretty good. And that's the second time I've used that in a very short period of time. Initially, I would say that it was met with mixed reviews. I received a lot of emails on both sides of the issue. A lot of supportive emails, a lot of emails thanking me for doing it, a lot of emails basically explaining, the logic, their perception of the logic behind it. And then emails that were exactly the opposite. Some were very condemning, some were very accusatory, some were very offensive. I guess, there's a bright line between the perception of government's role in society. And some believe that government should be as small and as remote as possible. And others feel that government should take a leadership role in trying to make sure that we can ensure, to some degree, that the safety of our population, the population that we serve. And when you have any kind of a mandate, any time that you basically cut an order saying thou shall or thou shalt not in some cases, that's going to get under some people's political skin. And so initially there were some rough waters to ride, but I think that people understand that this isn't, some sort of elected official just trying to exercise control. We're living in a health emergency. We're living in conditions that are unlike anything else we've ever been exposed to. And it sort of touches the very core of our existence. We are social by nature. We like to do things in groups. We like to do things with some degree of spontaneity, and saying, wait a second, before you do any of that, make sure you protect yourselves and protect others by wearing a mask, can really present a challenge. But I would say overall, it was met favorably. And if you drive around town, if you go into any of our stores, at least from my perspective, it looks like we've got a very high degree of compliance. Even at our farmer's market, I was at the farmer's market yesterday, and the same thing. A lot of people come up and say hi, and a lot more people come up and say thank you. So I got to think that it was the right thing to do. And more importantly, it's temporary, and we will hopefully, if everybody complies, we'll get back to normal sooner.
So other mayors on this program over the past month, such as Mayor Rozworski in Lafayette and Mayor Todd Barton in Crawfordsville, expressed specific concerns with exercising personal freedom and the role of government in implementing rules like this, kind of markedly different from how you've been talking about it. I guess, what's your response to that?
Well, I respect their opinions. I know from where they come. And obviously, everybody knows that Tony and I are great friends, have been for over 30 years, and we still are. But that doesn't mean we always agree with things. I feel very strongly that, when I took my oath as mayor 13 years ago, I swore to serve and protect my citizenry. And sometimes that means taking that step into an area that some might misconstrue to be challenging their freedom. I respect their opinions. I disagree with them, obviously. And at that time, when I actually issued our order, the governor had not yet made his mandate.
Correct.
And I have had several conversations with Governor Holcomb, both prior to his mandate and just prior to mine. So I feel somewhat vindicated for the critics out there that didn't exactly, at least in my city, that didn't approve. And also I feel supported by some of the elected officials that thought that they were going to postpone it as long as they could. So, we will always, if two humans get into a room, they can be brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. There will be some point that they might have a polite disagreement on. And in regards to the mask mandate, I think myself and other elected officials might have had a very polite disagreement on that point.
Well, and when you were last on the show, we talked about how West Lafayette was going ahead with a mandate and Tippecanoe County at that point. Tippecanoe County and Lafayette were not, which then kind of took you all off that same page you'd been on up to that point. So now you are technically back on the same page in theory. And I did talk about this with Mayor Rozworski last month. But again, going forward, you know, how does collaborating and mutual decision making work when there are, you know, some philosophical differences, maybe not just about even just mask wearing, but how to handle all of this in general? Do you foresee, I guess, future differences of opinion? And then how do you work through that?
I mean, Tony and I disagree a lot. I mean, we're humans and we're friends. And it's not like your basic political relationship. You know, we work together as police officers in Lafayette. We were in the same squad car together. We socialized together. You know, we hung out together. We went on calls together. We were promoted through the chain of command at LPD together. Basically, we grew up together. We have oftentimes had differences of opinion. I mean, way back when, he's a real, you know, he loves country music and I'm a rock guy.
Okay, duly noted.
Duly noted. You know, so we used to tease each other about that. You know, I had long hair, he was high and tight. We disagreed about that. I mean, we are two different people, but we love each other like brothers and we will have disagreements. But I guarantee you, you're not going to find two people who love their communities anymore. In West Lafayette, I had an abundance of phone calls wondering when we were going to do more about encouraging the wearing of masks. We've got a lot of people that feel very strongly in their personal rights, but also feel very strongly in protecting their health. And early on, when the virus was becoming more and more prominent, there were three basic things that almost every health professional told you to do: wash your hands, keep your distance, and wear a mask. And you know, again, when this is all nothing but a distant memory, I think that the reluctance on anybody's part to either wear or mandate masks is going to be erased from the fact that once eventual compliance was met, that the virus went away much quicker. We got over the whole COVID issue and got back to normal.
So your mandate has, as you have put it, teeth in the form of fines, and the statewide mandate doesn't. Do you think your method is more effective? Do you think there needs to be something like that in place to really get the point across?
Well, honestly, it depends from where you come. I mean, there are times when a public official, if they have any type of enforcement capacity or any type of public authority, if they make a request or a recommendation, it's usually complied with by a general majority of the population. And I think when Governor Holcomb made that mandate, it was that understanding. It's the governor. He said to do it, so I'm going to do it, is a mindset of some. However, in some instances, there are those that knowingly, willingly, and intentionally violate the order or the mandate. And when you think about the community in which we live, you know, we've got this massive age demographic between about 18 and 25, and there's a bit of a gap, then it picks up again at 50. It's imperative, at least I felt that it was imperative that we do something that's going to have a little bit more enforcement authority with it, and a little bit of a punitive measure as well. And up to this point, I can say, unless something's happened just, you know, over the past day or so, we have not written any citations. Mm-hmm. We have warned a lot of people, but we have been doing that since the beginning of COVID anyway. We have been getting phone calls from people saying there's a bunch of people on the trails, they're too close, people playing tennis, they're not respecting the distance, you know, people are at this area and they're not wearing masks. We have been fairly proactive and fairly responsive to complaints like that since the get-go. Now we've got a little bit more, we can have a little bit more authority and a little bit more significance when we make those recommendations.
Something that happened right after Governor Holcomb announced the statewide mandate, and this was, he announced it, I believe, on a Wednesday, so this would have been Wednesday, Thursday, before the executive order came out at the end of the week. A number of sheriffs came out and said, in effect, we're not enforcing this, or we're not diverting department resources to enforcing this. And then I saw a significant number of people, and again, this is on social media, you know, saying, thank you for protecting our rights. You know, for all the people who support mask wearing, mask mandates, there are plenty of people who don't. So
correct.
Does this ultimately work without those people buying in?
One would hope so. You know, one thing we've learned is that this virus is sneaky, it's tricky, and it's quick. And for us to be able to have the necessary agility to respond to that puts challenges upon everybody. The other thing we know about the virus is it affects different people differently. I've had people call me up, email me, and in some cases even stop me at the grocery store saying, I'm not going to wear a mask. You know, I don't believe in them. I'm not going to wear them. And the other side of it is that if there's a mask mandate within a particular retail structure, whether it be a store, whether it be a restaurant or someplace, they will comply by in the most passive way possible. One of my favorite ones is somebody that had glasses hung a piece of Kleenex from the bridge of their glasses over their face. Obviously, that doesn't cut it. So there's all different types of approaches to this. And we do know that this will end. We do know with what science is doing. You know, I read today that there's basically two vaccines that are getting closer and closer to distribution right now. That's still in the test mode, but that possibility exists that we might have a vaccine sometime here soon, possibly by the end of the year. This will end. But in the interim, you know, we're a fairly intelligent species. We absolutely know the do's, and one of the do's is wearing a mask. And we absolutely know the do nots, and that's behaving irresponsibly when it comes to social contact and sharing of, you know, certain things and all that. And it's just common sense. If you want to have this come to a quick and speedy stop, if you want to keep businesses open, if you want to be able to go to the movies, if you want to be able to go to our parks, if you want to be able to have a high quality of life, play by the rules and wear a mask. Because one thing we know for sure, if we have to shut things down again, the America that we once knew will not be the same once we get through this.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. We're talking right now with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. So, Mayor, Purdue students are headed back this month. Everyone has been discussing this, speculating about what might happen for months now, and the reality is
yes, here.
It's been a lot of chatter, a lot of discussion, a lot of planning, a lot of what if. Is the city ready? What's left on the to-do list?
Yes, this is funny. I did an interview just earlier today about this same issue. And there needs to be an understanding that we have been preparing for this for quite some time. You know, we have been aware of the virus. We've been aware of how easily contracted it is, how easily transmissible it is. And we have been responding appropriately. You know, we have been going through neighborhoods and looking at things. We have been encouraging the wearing of masks. We have been posting proper protocol for behavior about whether it be social distancing. I mean, we've actually done a couple of videos to that regard about wearing masks and keeping your distance. So this isn't the beginning of the rodeo. We have been doing this, at least in the city of West Lafayette, for quite some time. So we're ready. I mean, we've already got mechanisms in place. We've got units that are in a position to be able to respond to complaints. We've got materials that we can disseminate. The students are getting the same type of information from Purdue, and that's the best that we can do. I mean, you know, are we going to be in a position to moderate everybody's behavior and monitor what they're doing? I don't think so. But one thing I would assume is that I think the students want to go to school. I think people want to come to this community, and the students want to get an education. Granted, they want to use some of this as opportunity to socialize, and we know there's going to be some misbehavior going on. But as a general rule of thumb, you know, I strongly believe that with what President Daniels has done with Purdue and what we have been doing with the city of West Lafayette, I think we're very prepared. The other side is that we have testing stations all over the place. Now, there's plenty of opportunities to get tested. We've got guidelines for rental properties off campus in regards to parties, in regards to social distancing, in regards to, you know, sort of the rules of engagement when you come back to school. We are doing everything we can because, again, what we do not want to do is go back to shutdown mode. Does that mean that there won't be any increases in cases? Well, absolutely not. You know, there cases are increasing now anyway. But will it be manageable? And will it be something that we can deal with as a collective between Purdue and the city of West Lafayette? Yes, I think so.
So health experts have really been focusing on places such as bars as a location where the virus can spread much more easily. And at the, you know, weekly coronavirus press briefing last week, it was kind of the potential was raised, you know, if the state, say, lifts capacity restrictions on those spaces, you know, goes out of stage 4.5. And I don't know if I think that will happen, but they could remain in place here. Right. But again, at what point does it become safer to just close the bars? And I know that's a complex question, but I mean, Dr. Yeah. Fauci has said he thinks people shouldn't be going to bars. It's just it's not safe. Well, you know, what would have to happen for you to consider that?
Well, obviously, it would have to be something that would be with the understanding of the bar owners. We have a bar coalition meeting once every couple of months, actually. And we have one coming up next week, and that is going to be the focus of the conversation. Just by using an objective review of what goes on in bars. People drink, they lose inhibitions, and they behave differently than they
yes.
would normally do. The other thing is that if you go into a bar wearing a mask, I don't know that they've actually developed a mask yet that you can drink through without compromising the integrity of the mask. So sure, I mean, look at it, it's on its face. It's going to be quite a challenge. But bars are open now. People are inside, you know, doing what they do in bars now. And there is an assumption on the part of Purdue students, or at least on the behalf of Purdue students, that they're going to behave irresponsibly, that just because of their age, that they don't care, they throw caution to the wind, and they're going to do what they want, when they want, how they want, and, you know, rules and regs be damned. There's a greater motivation here than just what I or President Daniels say. They're here to get an education. They've invested in Purdue University for an education. And for the first time, and probably since maybe, I don't know, as far back as 1918 when the flu pandemic came out, they're responsible for their future here. And that doesn't necessarily mean because they'll get called up because they broke a rule. It's the future in regards to their health. It's a bigger deal. So bar owners know that. They're doing everything that they can. Bartenders know that, the service staff in bars know that, and it's their bread and butter too. Mm-hmm. You know, a bar, you know, the numbers of people that you used to see in the old show Cheers, basically six people a day, ain't going to cut it. They're not going to be able to pay the bills with that. They still need to have a decent attendance at their bars in order to keep their overhead from becoming unreachable. So the bar owners are motivated too. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where I believe that we've got a significant number of partnerships here. Some of the partnerships are on our local economy. Some of the partnerships are with the students at Purdue University in the community. Some of the partners are within our neighborhoods. Definitely there's a partnership between the administration at Purdue and the city of West Lafayette. And again, the presumption is that this is going to work. Is it perfect? No, nothing is. But what are our options? Do we shut everything down? Do we turn the lights off until the last person with COVID either gets a shot or doesn't have it anymore? No, that's not practical. That's not realistic. But we're empowering adults to behave like adults, to make the right decisions, and to work collaboratively to get this thing out of here so that we can continue on having a fruitful and productive society and keep our economy growing.
So as you're plotting out how to respond to different scenarios, you know, what does that look like? So let's say it's a Thursday night on State Street. Each bar is at whatever capacity. Let's assume that's 50%. There are lots of people waiting to get in. People are milling around out on the sidewalk. Maybe the crowd just gets a little too big for comfort. You know, what is the plan? You know, granting that these scenarios kind of have yet to happen, you know, what are you thinking is the best way to mitigate some of that?
Well, generally speaking, and I know this from years and years ago from personal experience, in a city like West Lafayette, we are very fortunate because we're in a position to be able to apply resources to circumstances that some other communities might not be able to do. We've often had, because of the density of our population, specifically when Purdue's back in, we've often had circumstances and situations, whether it be a party in a residential area, whether it be some behavior after an extremely competitive sporting event, or whether it just be just something that a social event that's turned into something bigger than was anticipated. We always have had the resources with Purdue Police, West Lafayette Police, Purdue Fire, West Lafayette Fire, to immediately dispatch resources to an area like that to be able to encourage compliance with the law, encourage compliance with the rules. This is no different. The businesses have the initial onus. The responsibility is theirs. And again, it's not just a matter of the bars playing by the rules. It's a matter of their own financial survival. Because the dark side of this is if things get way out of hand and the COVID numbers increase to a point where we've hit that threshold where we have to go back in time and start shutting things down, who loses? You know, it's a pretty simple economic equation. So they're motivated. The other thing is that the health department has a lot of authority in this also. Dr. Adler has basically the option to do reviews of things, to look at conduct of things, to make sure that we're not creating a scenario where another health emergency could occur. He has that authority to shut down should he choose to do so. You know, police departments and cities and local governments also have that to some degree, but it has to be predicated on something that would be urgent and significant. But working collaboratively with the health department has that type of option as well. So, you know, I know that these ages are experimental. I know that you introduce alcohol into a scenario, it could get extremely out of control. And I know that there are some people that just are risk takers. You know, they're going to do silly things at silly times that are going to draw attention to themselves and possibly harm others. We do not have an absolute. I mean, our system is not perfect because it's codependent upon humanity, and that's very difficult to predict. But we feel that when you combine the resources of Purdue University and the city of West Lafayette, we're in a position to be able to respond to and handle circumstances that have the potential for getting out of control. And that requires the possibility of closing down establishments for a particular period of time. We'll have to do that. But again, why are we here? What are we here for? And what's our main goal? The students are coming here to get an education with the eventuality of getting a great degree and getting a great job. Behaving in a way that's going to compromise that is in nobody's best interest.
So again, we're still in stage 4.5 here in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And as we've been saying, one of the consequences of a potential continued rise in COVID cases is the whole state going back to an earlier stage of the state's back on track plan. And so if we're talking about the economics of this, so let's say there is a need for a sustained school closure in the coming months, or major sporting events like home football games are canceled. Those don't happen. Scenarios where people who help drive the local economy, and not just at bars, but more broadly, aren't here. Are you concerned about that?
Yes, very much so. That's why I had the mask mandate a month ago. We realize how fragile this the whole COVID issue, the way it has been played out throughout the country and actually through around the world, has made us realize how fragile our economic health really is. And when the doors are closed, when people are staying at home, when the you know, restaurants aren't being taken advantage of, when movie theaters, when gyms, when retail stores are not, that hurts. And, you know, I know that the federal government has been trying to use infusions of cash to help us get through this. Even us with our CDBG funds here locally in West Lafayette, been trying to do the same thing. But that can't be sustained. And, you know, if things go to that worst case scenario, then yes, that's extremely frightening. But the bright light of this is that people are responsible and they are interested and informed that they'll make choices to not have that occur. And the second thing is, and maybe a little bit further down the road, is the potential of having a vaccine. But this is a good object lesson. You know, when you look at the density of our population, when you look at the closeness of humanity, even though we have technology that some people think spread us apart, people by nature are social. They love that social intimacy. So any type of virus that challenges that, it's always going to be hard to manage because it's inherent in our being to get out and hang out and talk with each other. So every time something like this happens, because I'm sure this is one of many that will be coming down the road in the future, we need to now be more structured in our response to it and more immediate in our response to it. Exploring a hypothetical, if we would have had a reaction from the first case where everybody shuts down, everybody wears a mask, and everybody holds their breath basically for a while until we get through this, we might not be in the circumstances that we're in right now. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody. We did not know then what we know now. But knowing what we know now and having some of the protocols in place that we have now, God forbid, should this happen once again after COVID's over, we'll be in a much stronger position to fight back.
So Indiana K through 12 schools have already started reopening, and West Lafayette schools and other area school corporations moved their start date back. And COVID-19 cases have already been reported at multiple schools across the state, which then, depending on the circumstances, can set closures and quarantines in motion. Are we prepared here, I guess, for some of those broader disruptions? Because even a targeted or a finite school closure can have an impact on parents and students and workplaces. So there's a ripple effect. You know, I think there's a general air of uncertainty about a lot of things surrounding, you know, those particular school reopenings right now.
Yes, and that is the biggest challenge right there. In the event that a school corporation would have to close, how do we continue with the educational process? How do we make sure that the students basically aren't going to get an academic timeout at the same time they're trying to do things to maintain their health and quality of life? The parents, it's a justifiable concern. And I know school superintendents across the country are having that same concern. You know, there is a lot of validity now with online education. I mean, you can do a lot of things with parental proctoring and online education. But again, now that I'm an old guy, I can say these sort of things. The things that really concern me is not necessarily the academic component, because again, online education can help us lead a lot of those metrics with that. But it's the socialization process. You know, you look at some of the Orwellian things that were thought of some years ago, and one of the things that was always was a concern was the possibility of us becoming unitized and not having that necessary socialization in our activity. And I believe that could be one of the casualties of COVID. You know, we can establish these systems that allow for us to do almost everything from home, except for, you know, pick up trash. And I think it's imperative that we take the appropriate precautions to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mayor, that is our time for today. Thanks so much for being with us. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.